It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer coming to you from a backyard in Iowa City in this special recorded edition of River to River. It's the backyard of Christopher Merrill, the director of the International Writing Program. And on this afternoon and evening, the latest group of writers, over 30 writers from some 32 countries, have just arrived in Iowa City to take part in the International Writing Program's residency. And we're talking to a few of them to find out why they're here and what they expect from the program.
My name is Haris Khalik, and I come from Pakistan. I write poetry, and I also write essays and columns and regular newspaper column and creative nonfiction.
What are the topics, the themes for the essays you're going to be working on here in Iowa?
Well, something that has always haunted me is the partition of the Indian subcontinent, which is very far off from, you know, from this habitat. I mean, it's a different planet altogether. When you speak about the partition of India 70 years ago, almost 70 years ago, in the United States. But I think as humanity, we have gone through similar suffering at one point in time or the other. So partition of the Indian subcontinent is something that has defined us over the generations and has been an unhealed wound. So one is that, but the other is that I'm quite, it does not lead me to any identity crisis. So I'm very happy to be a Pakistani, but at the same time, you know, I would want to explore the umbilical cord that we have with the Indian civilization, the larger South Asian civilization, as we call it now, and the shared culture and a shared sensibility that we have across South Asia. Having said that, there are other personal experiences and personal what do you call personal essays in English, a genre called personal essay. So it is there as well. I mean, experiences are there. And I've also seen a lot of violence and conflict and terrorism as I grew up. And even now, I mean, I've seen that happening. And I'm experiencing
Let me jump
that.
In because when Americans read about Pakistan, unfortunately, in the last few years, it has been usually terrorism has been the topic, and your country is dealing with it as our country is dealing with it. How does that affect your writing? How do you express that in your writing?
I think you have to. Somebody was telling me just right now that one colleague here in this party that when she was looking at the writing samples, she thought my writing was the most politically charged and reflective of the kind of terror we are struck with. But to be honest, I also see both the governments of Pakistan and the government of United States, I mean, both the governments, to have played a really tricky and a dark role some years ago. And it seems that for both countries, chicken has come home to roost.
When we here in Iowa or the United States see Pakistan in our TV shows, in our news, do you get the sense, and I don't know how much you've looked at what we consume about Pakistan here, that it's an accurate portrayal of your country and your people?
I'm afraid it is not. I think media anywhere thrives on negative reporting. Pakistan has got lots of flaws, and that's what I keep writing about and lamenting about when I speak or when I write. But at the same time, it's a seriously resilient nation, and there's a lot happening. There's a lot of good to report, which unfortunately doesn't get reflected anywhere in international media. I mean, there are glimpses you would find once in a while, but a lot of it remains unreported.
Haris, is this your first time in Iowa?
This is my first time in Iowa. I have been to the United States a couple of times before, but I'm really happy to be here in Iowa, and I really look forward to spending a productive time.
Mm-hmm. How many days have you been in Iowa?
It's just been 2 days, really.
2 days. So what is anything surprise you? You have a first impression to share?
Well, it's a beautiful place. It's very hospitable. I mean, people I find here are very hospitable. And something that I like about Iowa is that, you know, it's kind of an oasis in the sense that where I come from and what I see happening in other cities in the world is that parks are being replaced by shopping malls and trees are cut and they are being replaced by billboards. This I do not see, at least in this oasis of Iowa City, Iowa's university campus.
Okay. Harris Kalik, thank you very much. And we wish you the best of times here during your residency here in Iowa.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I am Samuel Kolawole. I'm from the Federal Republic of Nigeria, or Nigeria. I'm a fiction writer, but I also write nonfiction once in a while. But basically, I'm a fiction writer.
And what brings you here? What do you hope to achieve here?
I'm here as a writer in residence. Of course, the International Writing Program, University of Iowa. And really, the major reason why I'm here is to write. That's the primary reason. But I'm also here to forge partnerships, to connect with other writers, you know, talk to people, interact with readers, you know, and do all those literary things.
Do you have a specific piece of writing that you're working on here? Do you have a theme or a topic you're writing on?
I'm working on two books, actually, a novel and a collection of short stories. I'm from Africa, so I write African stories and fabulous fiction and magical realism.
Can you explain a little bit more about what those types of writing are?
Yeah, it's just a way of introducing supernatural elements into our everyday life. Stories that talk about, you know, strange things happening to ordinary people. Yeah.
So this is kind of mysterious African folklore and so forth. Are these true stories or stories that are in your culture in Nigeria or new stories that you're making up?
Yeah, sometimes I draw heavily on African folklore and stories to I write is contemporary African writing, but certain I draw from our oral tradition, the African folklore and all of that.
Mm-hmm. So how are they relevant to our modern times and those of us living in Iowa or in Nigeria?
Stories are universal in nature. They are things that as long as you are telling a good story with a believable character in a situation, and you explore the certain themes like fear, like desire. These are universal themes that people can relate with, no matter where you are, whether you are in Mexico or you are in America or you are in Asia. You know, you can all relate with. So what I want to do is, I try to do in my writing, is to create believable characters, you know, and make them go through a particular journey. Just allow the reader to enjoy.
You're together with more than 30 other writers from around the world. That's what's unique about the International Writing Program at the University of Iowa. Every year there is this residency. Can you say how that helps you as a writer, how you expect that to help you as a writer, to be able to mingle and exchange ideas with writers from more than 30 different countries?
Yeah, it's interesting because for the first time, you tend to... It's interesting that you have a group of writers influenced by different cultures, by you know, having different exposures and different writing styles and different things that they are interested in. So it's interesting to work together with them to share ideas. And one of the things that this program, I believe, is going to do for me is to broaden my perspective, you know, about the world. A lot of people don't understand, you know, things about other cultures, and there's a way I can also bring that into my writings. For example, I've learned a lot of new things from writers here. I learned something new today about a writer from Mexico. I learned another new thing from someone from China. So it's good. The exchange is really, yeah.
Can I ask you what would be an example of something you've learned already here?
A Brazilian writer, one of the writer from Brazil, said to me that there's a particular festival in Brazil where people go to graveyards to sing for the dead. which was really interesting to me.
From Brazil. So yeah. This is like the Day of the Dead, mm-hmm, where you go to honor your ancestors. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Before now, that was really new to me. I was never aware of that, you know. Mm-hmm. Although I'd read about it, but it was the first time I was going to hear someone who is from, you know, that part of the world say something like that. And it was really interesting. And for me, I started thinking about what to do with that, because it was so fascinating. I wanted to do something about it. I wanted to write a story or something. Yeah.
So you think this will turn up in a story that you have?
Yeah, most likely.
So it's really an exchange. You're looking for things from other writers or from perhaps a culture you experience here. Mm-hmm. What would you like people in Iowa to know about Nigeria that they don't know?
We speak English in Nigeria. I'm really interested in letting the world understand how interesting Nigeria is. Nigeria is a nation of many contradictions, but Nigeria is also a great nation. So I do not want Americans to just see the parts that the media portrays. Nigeria is a country of so many sides, and we shouldn't, like Africa, really Africa, there's this one-sided way the West sees us. So I want to see what I can do to change that.
What are your first impressions of Iowa? I don't know how, if you've been to Iowa before or how long you've been here.
This is my first time in Iowa. Iowa is a quiet city, and is the kind of city that is my kind of city. It's interesting how many people are doing literary things here. Yeah. You know, everybody, someone somewhere is interested in, you know, what you do and all that. And there are a few places in the world where you can get that. And, you know, it's like a one-stop shop for, for, you know, literary, you know, and all of that. So, which is very wonderful. I don't know. Let's see how it goes. I might end up staying here.
Okay. Ask you again after your stay. Okay, very good. Thank you, Samuel. Yeah. Nice to meet you, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
I'm Karen Villeda. I'm Mexican Spanish. I live in Mexico City, so I come from Mexico. I write most poetry and also children's fiction. I have 5 books of poetry and 1 book for children's fiction. And I'm interested also in multimedia and poetry. I do also digital poetry.
Mm-hmm. In all your projects and your writing, what are the themes that you like to touch on?
Pain, mourning, violence, death. Yes, but not for the children, okay? Just for the poetry. Mm-hmm. And for the children, I think I'm very interested in science and technology for mm-hmm. kids.
And is it specifically those themes as they relate to Mexico or to other parts of the world?
No, I think these topics are very deeply in our culture in Mexico. You know, for example, we have this tradition named the Death of Death. Día de los Muertos is the day that we honor the dead people, you know, but we make a party to honor the dead people. So even we dance in the graves, we went to the cemetery with a lot of flowers and food and drinks.
As a matter of fact, we were just talking to a Nigerian writer who writes about sort of supernatural things in Nigeria, Samuel. I don't know if you met him. But he was saying how he had come across this idea of the Day of the Dead and honoring the ancestors and going and dancing in graveyards. And he thought this was a wonderful but a very foreign idea to him. Are you the one who gave him the idea?
No, I haven't given him. But it's very popular, Day of the Dead in Mexico. I think it's one of the most renowned traditions from Mexico. So it's a wonderful tradition. And also, yes, I wrote a lot of that, but also on violence, because my country suffers a lot. So.
Right. Recently, your country in our national conversation has been having to do with the election that's coming up, or the nominations for it. And when we talk about Mexico, unfortunately, we hear the talk of making a big wall between the United States and Mexico. What is your reaction to the political conversation surrounding immigration going on here?
Well, I think it's a problem with the media portrayal, because most of the immigrants are poor people in Mexico, but another people from Mexico haven't had the opportunities in Mexico to work like here, you know, because we have like the half of the population is really, really poor. They live with $1 per day, so they have to cross the border, they have to cross the river to find a better way of living, because the government isn't capable to provide the minimum quality of life. And that's really sad.
Does that theme, does that topic, something as tied to current events, find its way into your writing?
Yes, I think so. For example, my last book, named Dodo, is about violence, but also about this phrase that is, man is the wolf of men. And I'm very interested in exploring that. And I think in Mexico, we are kind of that people. We are Mexican, is the wolf of Mexicans. So, for example, our government that isn't responding for the people that wants to work, that wants to have social care, medical care. So they say, oh, yes, they are in the United States. So the government of the United States have to take care of our Mexicans. I think that's a very polemical question, you know, and it's sort of, yes, we already get rid of them.
Do you have a specific goal that you want to achieve here? You're going to be here in Iowa for several weeks. Do you have, as a writer, a goal?
Yes, I want to finish, I want to continue working on my first novel. So,
What is that about?
It's about sexuality, woman's sexuality, and also about politics, and also about corruption, a little bit of corruption related to ecological themes, but it's more about sexuality. Yes.
And there'll be a lot of events, a lot of things that are new here to you. Do you think you'll find the time to work on your writing? Or?
No, I hope so. Yes, I want to do that. On the morning, Christopher Merer was telling us, like, you have to work, please take advantage of all your time, this time is yours. So I don't want to be in the party all the time. No. Uh-huh.
Okay. Have you made some connections here with other writers from around the world already?
Yes, I think the group is wonderful. There is a very diverse group, and I already met everyone. But there is a Portuguese guy, there is this girl from Austria, there is a lot of people from Asia. So I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you for talking with us, and good luck on your residency here in Iowa as part of the International Writing Program.
Gracias.
Talking now with Chris Merrill. He's the director of the International Writing Program at the University of Iowa for some 15 years. This is the latest group of over 30 writers from some 32 countries that you have here to continue this great tradition here in Iowa. Of course, it's impossible to encapsulate over 30 biographies here, but what can you highlight about this group this year that stands out for you?
Well, we've got writers from all over, but I'm particularly taken with our writer from Afghanistan, who also teaches Persian literature at the University of Kabul. She brings, as she said, her first 7 years, she couldn't leave her house because of the Taliban, and now she's got a big life as an academic and as a writer here, mingling with writers from 30-some-odd other countries.
We've talked to writers about what they're looking forward to here, their expectations. The value of this program is so varied. I wanted to get from you what you see as the principal goals that you have set out for the IWP.
Well, I tell the writers on the first day that their primary mission is to use this time as writers, and I hope that means by the end of their residency, they will have written many new pages. They will have made many new friends, and they will have many new impressions, not only of this country, but of the literary traditions of all the writers they're staying with. So on that level of exchange of information and ideas, I want that to happen. But more to the point, I'm hoping that they will leave with bigger ideas about what it means to be a writer. We have a writer from Egypt, for example, who translates from Hebrew. And after he introduced himself this morning, the Israeli writer said, "You know, you translated my first story." They had never met before, but they already had a working relationship. And that kind of connection between one writer and another, I hope that that ripples outward for all the writers who visit.
It's an exchange in so many ways. The writers come here to talk and share and have conversations with writers from around the world, conversations with Iowans. What do Iowans get from it? Because I know there are a lot of events planned for the next few weeks that people can find out about at the International Writing Program website.
Exactly. We literally have dozens and dozens of free open free readings, panel discussions, lectures. Cinema Tech movies every Tuesday night. It gives Iowans a chance to see how big the world is on the one hand, and also how small it is. There's a chance to interact with writers from all over the world. I like to say in my job that I have the chance every minute of the day to find out how little I know about the world, because one writer has told me something that I couldn't have possibly imagined, and yet the next minute another writer will be telling me something else. The public is open to this at every moment.
Okay. Christopher Merrill, thank you very much, Director of the International Writing Program. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Also with us is Jim Leach, longtime Iowa Congressman Jim Leach. You've been associated with the International Writing Program and supporting it for so many years. You're here at this latest gathering here. What are your thoughts as you consider 1,400 writers that have come from 140 countries, if my numbers are correct, since 1967? What a tradition that has been built here.
Well, it's an extraordinary tradition that the state of Iowa should be immensely proud of. Chris Merrill may be the leading citizen of this state, and quite arguably the greatest diplomat in the United States of America. People forget that literature is vastly more important than politics and understanding other societies. People forget that it's the writers that carry the ideas and the imagination and the differences in lifestyles and life thoughts of so many different cultures. This little institution, little in terms of numbers, has made a true mark in the world.
Congressman Leach, what a pleasure to run into you. Thank you very much. I'll let you enjoy the rest of your evening.
Well, thank you very much.
After a short break, we continue conversations with a few more of the more than 30 writers from around the world who are residents this year at the University of Iowa's International Writing Program, including a conversation with the Afghan writer who spent 7 years hiding from the Taliban.
I started writing because I couldn't never do anything.
Also, writers from India and Saudi Arabia when we return. I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. If you've just joined us, this is a special edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News, recorded in the late summer and actually recorded in the yard of Christopher Merrill, Christopher and Lisa Merrill. Christopher Merrill is the director of the International Writing Program at the University of Iowa. Christopher is a poet, essayist, and author, and we are learning about the latest crop, if I can say it that way, of writers that have come here from all around the world. Since 1967, this tradition has continued. Since 1967, when the program was founded, the International Writing Program, over 1,400 writers from more than 140 countries have been in residence at the University of Iowa in its International Writing Program. So we're getting to know just a few of the writers, over 30 writers from some 32 countries. Here in this backyard this evening, we're talking to a few of them, having them share their reasons for coming to Iowa, what they expect during their residency, and their inspirations for what they write and why they write.
I am Homeira from Afghanistan, and I am a fiction writer. I started writing in period of Taliban when I was at home. I passed 7 years at home. I couldn't see sun and the moon, never. And my father told me, please don't out from the home because the Taliban is in the street. Maybe they see you from the wall. And I was at the home. I always say to that time of my life, I told to my father, your home was as a jail for me. And that time, I started writing because I couldn't never do anything. So I start writing and also reading. I am writing for 15 years. I passed a very so bad time in my life in that period. I saw the suffering from the women of my country. I am civil society active now, and I'm writing for the woman. I am active for the woman. I have 6 books, and 4 is for the fiction, romance, and 2 is a research about the who start fiction in Afghanistan and who continue it.
Mm-hmm. This is really an incredible story. You're telling us that for 7 years you were hidden from the Taliban, and you know, in our press, when we hear about Afghanistan and so forth, sometimes, you know, we wonder what has been achieved there. And you are writing about women's issues in Afghanistan. Can I ask you, what do you feel has been achieved in Afghanistan in the last few years in terms of women's rights?
You know, I think we can change the society with the art, but it's take a long time, even 1 century. So in the last few years, we had some change in the situation of the woman, but it's not so a lot. We need to have a lot of changing in our country, but we cannot. You know, we cannot change the culture because the culture also every day has a cycle with the man, and the man don't believe to right of the woman. So we have some achievements, but they are not a lot. Especially if I wanted to change the culture of my country with the writing, it will be hard for me because. Because, you know, in Afghanistan, we don't have a lot of writers, fiction writer that be woman. We have 2 or 3 writers, fiction writers that they are woman. And the men also, when they are write about the woman in their fiction, they say about the woman, they are so classic and they are cooking, washing, and they are at the service of the men. So we have some achievement, but I cannot really own.
Now you are here in Iowa. Is this your first time visiting Iowa?
Yes, I am here. It's the first time that I am in U.S. And we have a lot of soldiers in my country that we from the U.S. that appreciated from them. But it's the first time that I am U.S. and also in Iowa. And I think in situation of me and my life is a gift of a God.
It's a gift of a God.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And so you have many weeks stretching out in front of you to spend here in Iowa, to spend with your hosts here, to spend with Iowans and also with the writers from around the world. What are you looking to achieve? Do you have a certain goal, a writing goal, a personal experience goal?
You know, I believe too that the woman in the world, all of them like together. But some of them is a weak, some of them is a strong. I come here to say hello, kind of a hello of woman of my country to the other woman that they are from the other country and from the Iowa. But I wanted to say about women my country. You know, we are suffering from Taliban until now. We are suffering from Daesh. We are suffering from every political that the neighbor play in my country. And I want to say with my art to others that the women of Afghanistan like the love. And they don't like the war. I am also. I want to the other country see a woman from Afghanistan that she wanted to have some achievement, some progress, and some development. I wanted to be the others that say we are alive and we are brave and we can be love and we can be lover.
Let me ask you. for a woman and for a writer in Afghanistan at this time in 2015, for a woman writer in Afghanistan, do you have to be careful about how you express yourself, about what you write, about yourself in public? Or can you express yourself freely in wherever you write or talk?
We have two parts of the women in Afghanistan. A big part of them, they are illiterate. They cannot read, and they have but a lot of a story. And we have another part, they are small, like me. We have illiterate, and we can read, we can write. We want to write about the story of the people, the woman they cannot read. And I know the story of my country never be repeated in the other the world. So we are so unique. We are so strong. Even the people, the woman, they cannot read or they cannot write. When you see to them, you can understand, oh God, the woman and the human of Afghanistan, how can be strong like that? They every day dead, but every morning they all live.
Well, thank you very much. We wish you a very nice time in Iowa. We're very glad to have you here in Iowa, and thank you for talking with us.
Thank you from you. That is so good for me.
I'm Rochelle Potkar, and I come from India. My first book is a book of short stories called The Arithmetic of Breasts and Other Stories. And it speaks on feminism, but more on Indian sexuality and women and how they view their bodies, and how the society views their bodies.
As you know, this is also a topic here in the United States. How do the conversations you're having in India about women and their bodies compare with what's going on here? Do you have you had enough contact with the U.S.? I'm sure you've seen it in culture, in TV shows and movies. What would you say are the differences?
I'm more aware of the Indian milieu. But I am also aware of America through its movies and its news. And I think women's liberation is relative and freedom is relative. So there's more freedom here in America, but I don't think there's less crime. Crime against women is there everywhere. And again, crime is relative.
So tell me how in your writing you deal specifically with these themes, for example. What do you do in your writing?
My last book, which was this book of short stories, had a limited exploration of sexuality. But the novel that I plan to write now in Iowa is on... I am going to be exploring these themes a lot more, where I'm going to be following four women, you know, completely different from each other, and yet following the trails of their relationship with themselves in the society that is India.
So the four women in the novel that you're working on right now, how are they different? How are they interesting? Why did you put them together and create them?
For very long, I have been observing women, and because I'm done with observing men. And what I found is that women can be so different, and at the same time, they're still women. Like the characters in my novel, there's one who loves babies, and there's one who doesn't want babies. And there's one who is straight, and one who is gay. And one who believes that patriarchy is not that bad, and one who's fighting it. And so women can be, and one who's career-minded, and one who's not. So I'm assimilating these in just four women. And I find that women can be so different, and yet they are women to be respected for their choices.
You mentioned one of the characters is gay. And as you know, the United States is going through a transformation in the way it thinks about gays and lesbians and the rights for gays and lesbians. Is that similar in India? Are you at the same stage, or is that different?
In India, we are very worse off. Okay, I think America is the place to look up to for gay rights, because in India we do not even tolerate straight love or marriages if the caste is not right. There even are killings, which is called the khap, okay, where a low caste and a high caste could be killed for loving each other. So we are far away from thinking about sexual orientation. So these are all closed groups. Gays are closed, and I've been speaking to few of them, Indians, and no, they live in a separate space. it's not like America at all. I mean, America is aspirational for this.
As you know, the uniqueness of this program is that you are with writers from around the world. It's a unique chance for you to meet people who share your love of writing and expression. What are you looking for from that experience?
I think literature being one frame, life is a bigger frame. And just talking to some of my co-participants, I found that we just veered to talking about women in the world. And this was whether they were male participants or female. So I think even without intending to do my homework, I already am somewhere having conversations about women, their rights, and not necessarily feminism. But everything, you know, like the good and the bad.
Have you visited Iowa before? Is this your first time?
This is my first time, and I'm fortunate and very honored to be part of this program and to actually behold the beauty that Iowa is.
Yeah, how is it different than your homeland in India?
I was just telling a friend that if John Galt had he'd been a writer, this is the world he would have created. Because this is some, for me, this is like utopia. Because at home, in Bombay, I live like the other writers in the world, who are not in residencies. You work in your house near a beautiful window, and that's all you have. And then you go across the city via train or congested road to a poetry reading far away, and you come back, and that's a day. That's a day. And here, there's everything. Almost under one dome, whether it's Cinematheque or whether it's a bookstore, and everything is at hand. I don't think you need to go anywhere else. In fact, I worry that I might not want to go, you know, and I might be caught at the visa office.
And because you come from Bombay, this is quite a bit of space, so that's a big difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I was just telling somebody again that even in an empty space in Iowa, I can sense the vibe. There's a pulsating vibe of poetry. I don't know how that's happening. Is some poetry and verses escaping and coming into empty spaces?
Rochelle, it's really wonderful to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
My name is Raed Anis Al-Jishi. I'm from Saudi Arabia. And I write poems. I'm a poet. I wrote one novel. It is like a photographic novel, but without photographs. And I'm a translator also. I translate from English to Arabic. When I read something in English, and I say, this thing must be told in Arabic, I translate it.
And what, in your own writing, what themes do you pick? What do you like to write about, express?
Okay, as I told you, I'm a poet, so I don't choose a theme. Usually the themes choose me to write it. So usually it came for me. And what I do is just to prepare myself, study, research, and whatever. So when the poem came to me, I receive it and I write it. So, but most of my writing was about heartbreaking moments in life and turning points. That's it. Mm-hmm. So I wrote about love, life, cancer, autism. I wrote about blindness. I wrote about most of daily life.
Arabic is such a beautiful language. I wonder if you have any poems, perhaps of your own in Arabic, that you could recite for us, that you could share with us.
Let me see. Where is it? Okay.
Does this poem have a title?
Actually, it is a new poem. I didn't put a title. It is a poem based on my studies of Friedrich Nietzsche.
Friedrich Nietzsche. Yeah. Friedrich Nietzsche. Okay.
الشجرة تمد إصبعها الأوسط إلى النجوم. قمتها تواصل السخرية وكلما علت إشارتها الهادئة بدت أصغر كخدعة تقذمها كبرت الظفر يجب الاقتصاص منها. الشجرة تصبح أكثر حكمة وهي ترتدي الريح وأكثر تواضعا وهي تتخلص من جلدها. I will just
Right, right. And it's a lot to ask you to translate that perfectly, of course, a poem. But what is the sense of what you were talking about there?
I'm gonna try to translate fast. So I'm talking about a tree who is holding her finger up to the sky, up to the stars. And every time and the stars is mocking her fingers that they are not reaching it, and every time she raises her finger up, she looks smaller, and it is like a decoy for something that it should be cut in order to go fall on the ground and to become bigger, and the tree become more wise when she wear the cloth of the wind, and she become more humble when she take off her skin.
That sounds wonderful. What are your plans for your time here in Iowa? Do you have a certain something you want to accomplish with your writing, or something else? What would you like to have happen here? What are your wishes?
So I am searching for inspiration, and that way is to meet new people and to learn new experience. And this city here, Iowa, I just moved by the river, and I felt that positive energy and that emotion around. You can just collect them. I think that I wrote a stanza while I walk on the river. Yeah. I didn't edit it yet, but it is like walking by Iowa River, absorbing the life, sound, emotion waves flooded my heart. What a joy that I found. Thank you.
That's beautiful. Saudi Arabia, of course, part of the world, the Middle East, where there's a lot of violence, crisis, that America is also involved in. Does that ever enter into your creative work, current events, things that are in the news that have to deal with Saudi Arabia and the Middle East?
Actually, I have a volume translated into French about Arab Spring. And I am not a politic guy. I don't do politics, but I concern about human. So whatever happens between countries, there is no justified, killing is not justified for me. So my poems are about the people, but not about the politics and not about the military. So if someone died in Saudi Arabia, I will write about him. If someone died in Cuba, in America, I will write about him if I feel that he was unjustified. No. So I think that I live in Saudi Arabia. I'm proud of being a Saudi, but I feel that I'm related to every human being in this whole earth.
That's really beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And here at this gathering, I've come across Congressman Dave Loebsack of Iowa's 2nd District and also the interim president of the University of Iowa, Jean Robillard. Nice to run into you gentlemen here. Perhaps starting with you, Congressman. Sure. There are many, many values we can see in this program, the exchange between Iowans and writers from around the world, the experience they have here. What do you put at the top of the list for you as far as why this program is important and how it enriches in many different ways?
Well, I put the cultural exchange aspect of it at the top in and of itself, but also because I think that it's really important that folks from different nation states get to know one another and share their ideas about their cultures, about their dreams, and about their desires. I think that is the best way, actually, to do what we can to build a more peaceful world, to share those cultures and those ideas. And this is one example of that. I might also say, you know, given that Iowa City is an international city of literature, this is something that contributes to that as well, and I think that's very important. The only one in the United States, by the way.
President Robillard, tell us your thoughts on this program and how it fits into the culture of Iowa and the culture of the United States, actually.
I think it's just fabulous to have these people here from all these countries across the world. Many times, people who really move country are the poets and writers and so on. And I think having all of them here discussing together, engaging between each other and sharing idea and sharing their skill, probably with no question would make a better world. And we are so privileged to have them here in Iowa City. This is something that is unique in this country and maybe unique in the world to have all these people here.
Conversations recorded at a welcome gathering for the 2015 residents of the University of Iowa's International Writing Program. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Listen to this or any other River to River programs at iowapublicradio.org. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.